It's a pleasure to come and preach God's word here in Amiens Park Chapel. When I started my ministry training in Haystown Chapel, one of the things that I found really invaluable was the fellowship that there exists, the fraternity that there is amongst pastors and elders in the West London Heathrow kind of area, the churches which minister around there. I thought it was great to meet together with other pastors and elders, to pray together for the churches that we're seeking to minister in, and to kind of hear the words of wisdom and prayers of the older pastors and elders who were there. I felt like I was too young to be in there, but nonetheless, they welcomed me in, and was very supportive, in my training for ministry, and I've benefited very much, from the fellowship, that exists, through the churches in the West London area, with Amiens Park, and Haystown Chapel included. And as we think about, God's words today, I'm preaching from Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. I want you to think about, the chores that you have in your house. And amongst the chores that you might have, think about the most disgusting chore that you don't like to do, or the most difficult chore that you're not really willing to do. So, for example, I live with my brother. It's just the two of us. It's a bit of a man cave that we live in. And we like to cook. And so there's a lot of food waste which kind of comes about. We kind of put the orange peels and vegetable chopped and all those kind of things into the food waste bin. And it piles up. And I think both my brother and myself, we don't want to throw it away. It's not that we don't want to throw it away, but we don't want to be the one to throw it in to the outside food waste bin. It gets, especially during the summer, the kind of like the moisture comes and you lift it up. It's like, ugh. It's quite disgusting, isn't it? So we usually do it on Sunday evening. We have an unwritten kind of rota. I think it's my brother's turn this evening. I'm not sure. I think I did it last week. We try not to fight about it, but nonetheless, it's not something that we like to do. And also in the back garden, since my parents returned back to Korea, it's a mess. There's thorns going around, and we don't like doing the gardening that much. But we will have to do it. as the sun will start to come out more, the grass will grow. But it's difficult to do it, and it's something which I'm very unwilling to do, both of us. So you can think about maybe a house chore that you might have, which you are unwilling to do, whether it's so difficult or disgusting, you prefer someone else in the house to do it. So think about that chore that you might have in your mind. And as we see Jesus in today's episode, previously in Mark's gospel, you see how Jesus shows his power and authority. Mark shows Jesus' identity as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and also the mission for which he came. And throughout the beginning, we see various people testify of who Jesus is. So John the Baptist and Mark himself, and God the Father declaring that you are my beloved son. But not only is it just hype about what other people say, through what Jesus does through his actions, we get to see who he is as well. So he has power and authority over evil spirits, and also to heal those who are sick. And today we see not only Jesus' power and authority to cleanse this leper. It's different from just cleaning the house, or even different from just restoring someone from their disease. To heal is a different thing. But one of the emphasis of this passage here is the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to do this thing for this leper. And I want to focus on that today in this message. So you can think about Jesus' willingness to cleanse even you, even me. And to think upon that message as we go through it. But first, let's consider what leprosy is. We see here right at the beginning, a leper came to Jesus. And it's helpful reading the footnotes at times. And in the footnote in the ESV, it says at the bottom, leprosy was a term for several skin diseases. See Leviticus 13. And so in our minds, when we often hear leprosy, we have in mind the technical leprosy. It's called Hansen's disease. And there were sometimes leper colonies and so on. But often in the Greek and in the Hebrew, when it's translated as leprosy, it's more of a general infectious skin disease, various sorts of skin disease, which is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 13. So the term leprosy, the first thing that I want to say, isn't necessarily Hansen's disease, the things that we might see in medical records and so on. Now, Hansen's disease is a chronic infectious disease by bacterium infecting the nerves, the skins, the eyes, and the nose. Nowadays, since the 1940s, there are treatments for it, but if it's caught, and it's caught not necessarily by touch, but mainly through kind of infected droplets and so on, through sneezing or kind of if you come in contact a lot with their mouths. And historically, though it can be healed now, and though it's not infectious by touch, historically, it was very feared because of the visible disfigurements and disabilities which it brought about. Kind of looking at this passage, I was looking on Google at images of leprosy, and it's quite tough to see. I wouldn't advise it for children. It can maybe give you nightmares, but now having said this, you might go and kind of be tempted to do this, won't you? But nonetheless, you'll see how much disfigurement often it comes about. And because it was thought incurable and very infectious, there were leper colonies, and it was greatly feared historically. And so this man may or may not have had leprosy, Hansen's disease of this sort, but nonetheless, what we do know was that he had this greatly infectious skin disease. In Luke's account of this episode, it talks about how a man full of leprosy came to Jesus. So it was a serious problem that this man had, and it was often infectious in this way. A second point to know more about what leprosy is, what this leprosy here refers to. The nature of this skin disease and the problem that the man had can be known better by looking at Leviticus, as I was mentioning. And so the priests we read of in Leviticus 13 had a job, like doctors, of examining possibly infectious skin and diagnosing whether the disease was infectious or not. And if the person examined had an infectious skin disease, the priest would pronounce him ceremonially unclean. Now, the Lord gave the Old Testament people rules about what is ceremonially clean and unclean to train them. In the previous chapter, it talks about food which are clean, food which are not clean, to tell them, to train them to distinguish between the two, that there are kind of important things that they should kind of distinguish. The unclean food, or the infectious leprous person, or the unclean person, wasn't necessarily morally unclean because the food was pig or the person was leprous, but rather they became ceremonially unclean, and it was used as a teaching method by the Lord to teach something about the nature of sin and how you're to distinguish between those things which are holy and common and unclean. And so in the example of leprosy, as long as the person was infectious, he remained unclean and he had to live alone outside the camp. You can actually turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13, and let's kind of read verse 45 and 46, just to kind of think about what the condition, the problem of this leprous person, of this person with this infectious skin disease may have been. So in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, in page 91 of the Church Pew Bibles, it says that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So you can kind of imagine what a life would have been like for a leprous person or someone who had this serious infectious skin disease, having to go around in drab clothes with hair hanging out. It wouldn't have been a very sightly thing. And having to say, "Unclean, unclean," each time they came into contact with people so that people kept a distance. And also living by themselves alone, dwelling outside the camp. And it was a visual lesson of what sin does. Sin is infectious. Sin also is hideous to look at. Sin is unclean and it separates us from the presence of God. in Leviticus, you kind of see the center of Israelite life as the Holy of Holies. And as you kind of go out further and further out of it, you see that there are kind of abnormal things, and death is associated with the things which are outside, whereas with the Lord there is life, abundance of life. And so leprosy was this picture of a visual lesson of what sin does. It's death, it's unclean, it separates us from the presence of God and causes us to go outside the camp. And so we kind of get to see more and more of what the problem, the circumstances of this man with this skin disease. And so third, because this man was full of leprosy, wearing these worn, torn clothes, hair unkempt, crying, unclean, unclean, he was separated from the community, from the place of worship. You can imagine how lonely his life would have been. There were times when lepers got together with other lepers and lived together, but nonetheless, to be separated from society, it was a lonely existence. And the first thing that I want to say to you, as we see this example of this leper, of this person with this infectious skin disease, is that we are to recognize our problem of the leprosy of sin. God uses various ways to teach what sin is and does, doesn't he? We see kind of throughout Mark's gospel and through the gospels, various illustrations of sin. So for example, we see with a demon-possessed man, we see sin is to be under the power of spiritual evil. We see with the example of those who are physically ill, sin is disabling and brings death. And we see with the example of uncleanness here, that sin is infectious and separates us from the presence of God. Our sins are infectious, aren't they? Not only do we so easily catch them from others, sinful habits and thinking and values, we so easily infect others with our sins, with perhaps our sinful thoughts and habits and patterns in our lives. Often, even as a church, we so easily catch the values and practices of this world rather than be the salt and light in it. Sin is so easily caught. It's very infectious. And also, our sins are hideous. We may look beautiful on the outside, but inside, sin disfigures us. One of the proverbs that I like in the Bible is the proverbs of the beautiful woman who doesn't have wisdom, that she is like a ring on a pig's snout. and if we are still controlled by sin in our lives, that is what we are like. Even if we may be beautiful on the outside, we are disgusting in the inside. Seeing those pictures on Google kind of really does surprise me of how hideous leprosy is, but how much more hideous and repulsive and ugly sin is in our lives. Sin in its true form is repulsive and ugly. And although it may mask its ugly face very well, when we take off that mask, it shows its truly grotesque nature. Also, as I was saying, our sins make us unclean. However physically clean you may be, you might have had kind of a professional cleaner come to your house, or you may really take good care of your health and your cleanliness. But if sin is dwelling centrally in your life, you are unclean before God. Sin makes us often, because of that uncleanness, feel something of the absence of God's presence in our lives, don't we? Even as believers. David, when he sins against Uriah and Bathsheba, he prays that God will restore to him the joy of that salvation. He feels that distance from God. And so sin separates us from God because of that uncleanness. Regardless of how much of an insider we might be in our lives, in our workplace, how well people might accept us and love us, sin makes us unclean before God and separates us from his presence. And as you hear these things, it may be very difficult to hear. And we may want to deny these things of ourselves. But if we see this truth, if we see ourselves in the mirror of God's word, and in our most honest moments,
as we see ourselves reflected in God's word, we see this to be true. And if you haven't experienced yet the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life to cleanse you, this is your sad condition and the greatest problem that you have. You may be healthy, you may be beautiful outwardly, you may be hygienic, you may be loved by many people, but in God's sight, you are diseased and hideous, unclean and separated from Him. Your greatest need is to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the problem of leprosy that this leper had. And we see it as a picture of what sin is. And in Jesus' interaction with this leper, the second question that arises is Jesus willing to cleanse this leper? The leper goes to him and imploring him and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, the man doesn't beg to be healed, as we see in previous instances. It is to be cleansed. The word is repeated four times. And so we see Jesus' power to cleanse. And I made the distinction just in the previous point. But the leper here, the person with the skin disease, he doesn't seem to doubt Jesus' power to make him clean. But rather, what is in question is Jesus' willingness to make him clean. He doesn't say, "If you are able, I know you will clean me." But he assumes that Jesus, if Jesus is willing, he can make him clean. The focus, the question that is in mind is the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to make this man clean. And you have to remember, imagine the experience of this man as a leper, living outside the camp. He's undesirable, untouchable. People would have rejected him and gone on the other side of the road when he was around. People wouldn't have been willing to touch him. But what about Jesus? What is Jesus' response? Did Jesus remove himself away from the man to avoid becoming unclean himself, as many other people would have done? But what we see in Jesus' response is tremendous, isn't it? We see Jesus was moved with pity, filled with compassion. In the Greek and in the King James Version, it talks about bowels of compassion. You can really feel Jesus' compassion in that translation. There's deep emotions that come out. And he stretched out his hands towards the infectious man and touched him. Touches him and says, "I'm willing. Be clean." And imagine what may have been going on in the thoughts of the people who were present at that time. Imagine the shock on the face of the disciples. This man is unclean. What is Jesus doing? Doesn't he know that he'll become ceremonially unclean if he touches him? Imagine also the love on Jesus' face seeing this leprous man. Perhaps he was thinking, "Others may be unwilling to touch you, but not me. I will be clean." And imagine the amazement on the face of the leper himself. Amazed, thinking, "Jesus, you're willing to touch me? To cleanse me?" And as we think about this episode of Jesus being willing to cleanse a leper like him, may we not doubt the willingness of Jesus to cleanse you, to save you. Now there are different reasons that some here may have for not having yet experienced something of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to save us in our lives. There are times when some of us may be too proud and stubborn, like the Pharisees during the time of Jesus, and he deals a lot with them. Some may be too familiar with Jesus, and we see that with Jesus' family. They're like, "Oh, Jesus, what are you doing? You've gone mad. What are you doing?" And some of us may have become somewhat familiar with Jesus to see him as he truly is. Some want him perhaps for wrong reasons, and we see that throughout Jesus' ministry as well. But I think sometimes some may be too timid and reticent to receive God's love. And I think often we're all mixed up in that kind of way, aren't we? We sometimes have pride stops us, even in the same person. Pride may stop us, familiarity may stop us from knowing Jesus further. And that timidity and reticence to receive God's love. You may have experienced much rejection, distrustful of love from other people, perhaps because you've been rejected so much in your life. Love from God himself, you may be timid and reticent to receive it. You may relate well to this man whom others found repulsive, hideous, untouchable, and unclean.
Now, just as an illustration of this, it's a bit of a personal story. I wasn't sure whether to say it or not, but I'll say it. You can think whatever you might of it. When I was younger, when I was about kind of 8, 9, 10, I was morbidly obese. So it was a combination of my mum being a very good cook and me being a greedy kid. Now, there may be other reasons for kind of children being overweight and so on, but my reason was, I just like food. I just like bowls of rice and so on. But anyway, as I grew up, I think that aspect, and you're a fat kid, you get teased at school and so on, those kind of stuff. It was generally okay. I think I got over okay. But nonetheless, some of those insecurities remain, even to adult age. And later on, when the puppy fat kind of burns away, and I was more into fitness in my early 20s, even though I was kind of, looked quite healthy and quite muscular, there was this little fat insecure kid inside. And at times I was reticent to kind of talk to people at times and kind of befriend people. And by God's grace, those things have been worked over and so on. But nonetheless, there is this feeling of insecurity and reticence to be loved by others at times. And something like that might stop us from coming to God as well. We have our many insecurities, don't we? Now, our sins, it's not that God overlooks those sins, but nonetheless, seeing ourselves as God may see us as sinners, we feel afraid to come to his presence, thinking that he won't accept us. Now, it's true that God is holy and righteous, and he doesn't need to receive sinners like us. But I was thinking, I was doubting the goodness of God, the love of God at times, because of those insecurities that existed within me. And so, in this kind of way, you might be stopped. You might be too timid or reticent to come before God to know of his willingness to cleanse and to save people like us. And so this problem of sin within us, which makes us unclean before God, though we feel reluctant at times to go before him, we see in this episode of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus' willingness to make sinners like us clean. He stretches out his hand and touches this man. And he's done the same, I trust, for many people here in my life. He's gone into the ugliness of my life. It's even greater than taking that food waste bin out or going to my thorny garden and working on the weeds there. We see Jesus' willingness to get dirty, as it were, to cleanse sinners like you and me. And so we can go to Jesus with your sins, with our sins, with this desire to be made clean, with courage, knowing how important it is to be made clean. This leprous man we see here, he risks being scorned by others in entering into a city. He was desperate to be cleansed, but trusted that Jesus could do so. Likewise, go to Jesus. He is filled with compassion. He will reach out his hand, touch you, and make you clean, if you haven't been so already. But also, even as believers, I find that sometimes when we're talking to other believers, brothers and sisters, and they tell us some of the difficulties that they're going through in their lives, we don't find it so difficult to trust God's willingness to work in the lives of our brothers and sisters. We try to encourage them, and God is good, God is willing to help you in this situation. But at times, we feel that for our own situations, that God, at times, we feel that he's not willing. Is God willing? Those doubts come into our minds, doesn't it? But I hope that through this episode of the Lord Jesus Christ being willing to cleanse the leper, that we will know that he's always willing to work in our lives, to cleanse us of the guilt that we may have at times when we feel God's fatherly displeasure.
to know him continuing to save us in our lives. The argument in Romans chapter 5 is that if God, whilst we're yet sinners, demonstrate his love by Christ dying on the cross, how much more will he continue to save us and give us all the things that we need to persevere in the faith? So may we not doubt the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to work in our lives, to cleanse us, and to continue to save us. Now, I'm tempted kind of at this point to finish at that point, but there's a section at the end of this episode which can raise some questions. We see Jesus in verse 43, after the man is immediately made clean, Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And you might be thinking, that doesn't seem like a very compassionate thing to do. This man has been cleansed. I mean, Jesus, surely you should kind of, let him stay around with you a bit longer. Why do you just tell him, sternly charge him to go away and not talk about what has happened? And because that question might arise, it might question Jesus' compassion. I wanted to speak quickly about it, but there is also good lessons that comes out from seeking to answer that question. So first answer that can be given is that Jesus, in the beginning of his earthly ministry, is aware of misunderstandings and wrong expectations that people had in regards to the Messiah. So he didn't want news regarding him at the beginning of his ministry to spread so quickly because it would have a lot of misunderstandings and people will say things to others which may not be helpful. And it might be similar in our sense. We may often speak about Jesus to others who have wrong expectations. And we have to be mindful of that, don't we? And we have to pray for wisdom so that we can be clear and so that people don't have false expectations or misunderstandings about Jesus. Second, we see Jesus wants this leper to keep God's law. Even if the Old Testament ceremonial laws were passing away after the time of Jesus, Jesus himself was strict in fulfilling the laws of the Old Testament. And so for us, just because we're saved from sin and we're saved from condemnation because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't we're exempt from the law? Now we're freed from the curse of the law. Jesus has taken it all. But nonetheless, we are to take the law of God, the law of love, seriously in our lives, don't we? And third, Jesus Christ wants the leprous man to offer the sacrifices commanded in Moses' law as a testimony to him and to others. And when we read of it in Leviticus chapter 14, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Of these two live birds which are taken. One of them is killed and is dipped, and the live bird is dipped in the blood of the one who has been killed, and is let go. Imagine the leper seeing that after offering that sacrifice. It's a picture of atonement, that life had to be taken so that he may be cleansed. And so it would have left a great impression upon him and all of the people who would have seen those things of how this man has been cleansed by the grace and the atoning work of God. And so likewise, Jesus commands his disciples to be baptized. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? A testimony of being cleansed by Jesus through that washing, dying with Christ and being raised with Christ. It's a tremendous picture that Jesus has given for us. But also fourthly, the cleansed man now speaks freely as an insider within the city, doesn't he? And Jesus, where does he end up? At the beginning of the story, we see Jesus inside the city and the leper outside. At the end of the story, we see the leper now being cleansed inside in the town with others. And Jesus, where is he? He's outside. Outside in the deserted places, in the wilderness. Jesus, in effect, trades places with the leprous man. The man is now in the camp. Jesus is outside. He was willing to face this consequence. He was willing even to suffer on the cross outside the camp, as we read in Hebrews chapter 13. On the cross, in order to sanctify his people through his own blood. He's a suffering servant who is willing to go on the cross, isn't he? And so perhaps as you go home and think about the various chores that you might have to do this night, as you see your food waste bin that you might not be willing to do, or your garden which might need a lot of work in my case, may you remember the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in times of ministry, when there's really difficult pastoral situations and there are people that you just don't want to visit at times, just kind of like there might be someone that you're witnessing to, but you don't really like them at times. But nonetheless, may you remember the willingness, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to go in, to stretch out his hands and to touch the leper to make him clean. May we also learn of his willingness and of his servant-heartedness in our Christian lives. And if you haven't yet experienced the cleansing of your guilty consciences by the Lord Jesus Christ, go to him. Don't doubt his willingness to cleanse you. Let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, as we think about the various things which are often asked of us, there are difficult things and things which we are unwilling to do because it might be unclean, it might be disgusting, or it might be, Lord, just very difficult. But Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who was willing to touch the unclean leper, whom others were willing to touch or to embrace. But Jesus Christ, he stretched out his hand and touched him and made him clean. We thank you that you are continually willing to work even in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have cleansed many of us to know the salvation and the forgiveness of our sins and that cleansing of our guilty conscience, which through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that if there's any here who may be too timid, too reticent, whatever reason that they might have, which stops them from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, may they not doubt the willingness of Jesus to work in their lives, to cleanse them and to make them new. So we praise you. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ for how marvelous he is in our sight. Lord, when we continue to worship him, and be willing to serve him in the most difficult circumstances of our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.